Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week of July 29th. We'll start with some local news. IHSA announces 2021 plan. Includes football, moving, creation of summer season. IHSA sports will occur during the 2021 school year, the organization's board of directors has announced, though in a significantly altered format that includes football, volleyball, and boys soccer being moved from fall to spring and the creation of a summer season. An IHSA press release Wednesday afternoon, following a board meeting that began earlier in the day, outlined how the IHSA will operate its activities calendar amid the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. The following sports will take place in fall between August 10th and October 17th. Boys and girls golf, boys and girls cross country, girls tennis, and girls swimming and diving. The following sports will be held in the winter between November 16th and February 13th. Boys and girls basketball, wrestling, and boys swimming and diving. The following sports will happen in the spring between February 15th and May 1st. Football, volleyball, boys soccer. And the following sports will play out in the summer between May 3rd and June 26th. Baseball, softball, boys and girls track and field, girls soccer, and boys tennis. The announcement comes about 3 hours after Governor J.B. Pritzker announced he was imposing restrictions upon youth and adult recreational sports, including IHSA activities, in response to a rise in COVID-19 cases. Job fair set for new Costco store opening soon in Champaign. From Champaign. East Central Illinois WorkNet will host a job fair in Champaign for area residents interested in beginning a career with the new Costco store opening in Champaign this fall. The job fair is scheduled from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tuesday, August 11th at 206 West Anthony Drive in Champaign. East Central Illinois WorkNet is a program of the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission. Representatives from Costco will be present at the job fair and seeking candidates to fill all positions, including tire installers, meat cutters, bakers, forklift drivers, pharmacy technicians, and more. Workforce development staff from East Central Illinois WorkNet will also be providing information on how to access paid training while still working or laid off and collecting unemployment benefits. Funds are currently available for eligible applicants who want to further their career or education. Not only will this unique job fair help people learn about jobs that are available at the new Costco store in Champaign, it will help them learn how to get help paying for the training they need, said Taisha Jones, a case manager for East Central Illinois WorkNet. It's a chance to discover new opportunities and advance their careers. People who attend the Costco job fair will be able to receive information on available employment opportunities at the store and fill out applications. East Central Illinois WorkNet staff will also provide information about job training and placement services that are available. Those wanting more information may call East Central Illinois WorkNet at 217-531-8282. Costco is a membership warehouse club with hundreds of locations located in 8 countries. It provides a wide selection of merchandise as well as specialty departments and exclusive member services. East Central Illinois WorkNet assists clients with job search resources while providing specific education and training opportunities for low-income, underemployed, and dislocated workers in Champaign, Douglas, Ford, Iroquois, and Piatt counties. Based at the Illinois WorkNet Center in Champaign, the program is focused on helping meet the needs of businesses, job seekers, and those who want to further their careers. Ludlow School registration set August 4th and 5th. Registration dates have been set at Ludlow Grade School. Sign up for returning students is Tuesday, August 4th, and for new students and kindergartners, it is Wednesday, August 5th. Both days are 1 to 5 p.m. A teacher's institute will be held August 12th and 13th, with school starting August 14th. And now a letter to the editor from Darlene Wilson from Rantoul. veteran in need of financial aid. To the editor. In February 2020, you printed an article that featured Mr. Frank Wilson. Mr. Wilson served two tours of duty here at the former Chanute Air Force Base. He was retired medically, and his family remained in Rantoul. He volunteered at both Pleasant Acres and East Lawn schools, was an advocate for education, and gave talks to encourage the students. Frank was a familiar figure at both schools to parents and students. What people don't know is that Frank has been unable to go home to Louisiana since 1980 due to agoraphobia and panic attacks coupled with multiple phobias. Recently, in May of 2020, Frank was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. His doctors decided on chemotherapy before surgery because of the tumor's massive size. He was fitted with a smart port that injects more chemo that he takes home for 2 days. At that time, he goes back to the hospital and has the chemo pocket removed and is infused with fluids. Frank is in need of funds to help with his maintenance on his vehicles, transportation, and because of his phobias, a driver. Anyone wishing to help can make donations to him in care of Bank of Rantoul, 201 East Champaign Avenue, or P.O. Box 67, Rantoul, Illinois, 61866-0067. From Darlene Wilson, Rantoul. And a second letter to the editor. Time for Governor to act on Madigan. To the editor. The last 40 years in Illinois has been nothing short of calamitous, and anyone who is honest knows that it cannot continue. Forget our political differences. Forget what you think about public employee pensions or social welfare programs. No program is safe when your state is about to fiscally flatline, and a different structure to our income tax is not going to fix the problem. People on both sides of the aisle want a strong, healthy state. It is time for my Democratic colleagues and Governor Pritzker to step up to leverage their power and to put an end to this. I know the governor wants to be successful, but if he wants to better Illinois, it is time for him to demand accountability from the speaker. The governor is the only person in this state strong enough to protect the members of the Democratic caucus willing to buck the speaker. Our state is waiting for your leadership, Governor. We are waiting for you to be different. We are waiting for a new Illinois under new, honest leadership. It has been a rocky few months, Governor, but you have the power to turn it all around and to profoundly change this state. I challenge you to support your members who want to change. As you know, all of the House Republican members are there to support you on this issue, too. I challenge you to stand strong and end the reign of Speaker Madigan. State Representative Mike Marin, Rural Fithian. And now from the sports page, by Dave Hinton. Royal Giants sweep EI Awards. To the victor goes the awards. The Royal Giants, who swept through the abbreviated Eastern Illinois Baseball League regular season with a 6-0 record, took home all three league awards. Royals Asher Brad of Monticello earned the Ralph Lotion Award for Most Outstanding Player. Nominees were provided by and voted on by the participating managers. Brad plays outfield and second base. Royals Jesse Remington of Flatville won the Virgil Schwey Award, which goes to the Pitcher of the Year. The Dick Franzen Award for the Top Batting Average went to Royals Colton Carr, who resides in Ogden. Carr plays right field one game and designated hitter the second, and has pitched some innings, earning a save. He finished the season with a .588 batting average. In another sports story, the football Eagles want to show what they can do in 2020. Rantoul head football coach Tom Hess said the Eagles, who are scheduled to open the 2020 season August 28th at home against Prairie Central, have about 50 players who have been working out this summer. Hess reviewed the Eagles' schedule, which includes only one change. Urbana replaces St. Thomas More, which went to eight-man football on the slate. The two teams collide September 25th at Rantoul. I think it's an exciting opponent to play, Hess said. There could be a little bit of rivalry there. We have some kids and families who go back and forth to Urbana. A lot of families work in Urbana, have relatives in Urbana. Rantoul is a 4A school that had a 2019-20 enrollment of 738 students. Urbana, a 5A school, was at 1,185. Enrollment doesn't always matter. More important are the number of players who come out for the sport and their mindset. St. Joseph Ogden, Monticello, Unity, Prairie Central all have smaller enrollments than RTHS, but are generally playoff bound. Hess said he likes the core group of motivated kids who have come out to play for the Eagles and called them very talented. They have bought into a different kind of culture we are teaching, Hess said. I feel this group of kids had bought into being hardworking, good teammates, and showing leadership. They're a fun group to work with. Hess, who is starting his fourth season at the helm, said he thought turning around the Eagles would happen faster. The Eagles were winless last season. 12 seniors from the team graduated. It's taken 4 years now, he said, but it's been worth it. These kids have learned accountability and respect. They're good to each other and have a good attitude. It's been a lot of work to get to this point. Hess said he is excited about the season and hopes the Eagles will be able to get out and show what they can do. That is not a given due to the coronavirus pandemic. Some feel the season might be played in the spring. There won't be an easy game on the schedule, which includes 5 playoff teams, including Prairie Central in Week 1. Stanford Olympia, which, like RTHS, has been toward the bottom of the conference the last few years, has a new coach. The football schedule includes Prairie Central, St. Joseph Ogden, Olympia, Monticello, Urbana, Chillicothe IVC, Bloomington Central Catholic, Unity, and Pontiac. These games may be played in the spring, according to the new regulations announced by Governor Pritzker. Tuesday's coronavirus update. Record 55 cases today. This is from July 28th. Local health officials recorded the largest ever daily increase in COVID-19 cases Tuesday, with 55 new positive tests in Champaign County. At least some of the cases can be linked to failures to follow required safety measures in bars, lots of parties and gatherings, and people acting like we are not in a pandemic, said Champaign-Urbana Public Health District Administrator Julie Pride. Anytime people gather and spend time with others, even in their extended families, and they don't remain masked and distanced 6 feet, at least there will be cases, she said. These can and have led to hospitalizations and deaths. CUPHD has received many complaints about bars and has had many positive cases linked to being in bars, Pride said. One solution being discussed is that bars should only be open if people must remain seated and follow restaurant rules, she said. Clearly, allowing standing and movement within the bars is not working. It is not safe. That, however, is still allowed at this time. Pride said CUPHD will have teams of inspectors going out to bars from midnight to 2 a.m. to look for violations and will be relaying information to city and county liquor commissions for action. We are working with the cities and the liquor commissioners to ensure that there are consequences for bars that do not follow the infection control guideline during COVID, she said. These will include fines and potential suspension of liquor license. The community can help by not patronizing bars that are not following the rules. They are not safe, and we have already seen multiple outbreaks in bars and many cases with links to bars. With Tuesday's news, active cases were up 32 to 209, while recovered cases increased by 23. There are now 13 county residents hospitalized with COVID-19, up 1 from the 3 previous days. The county death toll remained 18. Champaign County's 7-day positivity rate now stands at 1.7%. In the last 2 weeks, the county has posted 3 of its 4 largest 24-hour new case totals. Tuesday, 55 cases. July 17th, 43 cases. May 19th, 37 cases. July 21st, 36 cases. Salvation Army Thrift Store liquidation sale starts and continues to August 8th. From Champaign. The Salvation Army Thrift Store, 2212 North Market Street in Champaign, is holding its liquidation sale, which started July 27th. The sale will run from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. until August 8th. The store will be permanently closing when the liquidation sale concludes.
We want to remind the community that the Salvation Army has not left town, said Major Randall Summit, who heads up the local corps. We are as committed to serving the community as we have ever been. Even with our best efforts, the thrift store was not sustainable from a financial standpoint due to rising business costs. Instead, we will direct our resources to our social services, food distribution effort, and access to veterans' family support. We are very grateful to the patrons of our store and to those who have generously donated merchandise, and we remain deeply committed to meeting the needs of our community, said Major Summit. Founded in 1865, the Salvation Army came to Champaign in 1890 and has been serving those in need in the county ever since. For more information on the Salvation Army's programs, contact Major Randall Summit. Cultivadores School Supplies Backpack Giveaway set Saturday. Cultivadores Latino Center will hold a back-to-school curbside backpack and supplies giveaway. The event is set from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, August 1st, and is by appointment only by calling 217-369-9155. Volunteers are needed to help sign up families. Social distancing and masks are required. The center is located at 555 South Maplewood Drive. Search for missing Rensselaer man continues 3 weeks later. It's been 3 weeks since Bill Prater of Rensselaer was last seen floating on the Iroquois River with two other individuals. He was reported missing by his family on July 15. The two individuals who were with Prater prior to his disappearance were questioned by police. They said they were separated from Prater at some point during the rafting trip, police said. Prater was last seen northeast of Rensselaer at County Road 100 South, east of U.S. 231. One Facebook post said Prater's wallet, phone, and T-shirt were found in his mailbox. According to the Jasper County Sheriff's Department, searches of the Iroquois River Basin were conducted by the Jasper County Sheriff's Department, Indiana Department of Conservation, Lake County Sheriff's Office, and the White County Sheriff's Office last week. The searches included walking, kayaking, air support, including a helicopter and a UAV and sonar. Volunteers are now willing to pick up that search. According to the Help Find Bill Prater Facebook page, a search party is being organized by Friends of Prater. Continue to watch the Facebook page for more details. Anyone with information regarding the whereabouts of Prater are asked to contact the Jasper County Sheriff's Office at 219-866-7344. And continuing with another letter to the editor, all races are precious in his sight. To the editor, July 29th. On October 11th, 1798, John Adams wrote to the Massachusetts militia, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Today, our libertine culture has disengaged from morality, and as Adams warned, America's founding principles are besieged. The one-man, one-woman union is God's gift, but the city of Somerville, in that very same Massachusetts, has granted polyamorous unions of three or more individuals the same rights as married couples. Some observers expect the incestuous marriage of siblings and parent-child marriage will be sanctioned, too. More news, politicians pledge civil rights prosecution against Christians. Age verification halted on online pornography sites. Conservative speaker attacked while police watch. Armed children terrorize Chicago suburb. Governor prohibits life-saving surgeryism, but abortion clinics remain open. Drug bust seizes enough fentanyl to kill 500,000 people. Disney-owned companies launch radical LGBTQ agenda. Psalm 2 foretells this growing hatred of God, and it foretells what happens when God's patience runs out. That time is called the Great Tribulation, a time such as the world has never seen. Plagues, war, and climactic disasters kill half its population, and the carnage ends with a spectacular finale. The skies roll up like a scroll, like a worn-out roller shade, which clatters to the top of the window. Earth and sky are pitch black, and then Christ returns in power and great glory, and every eye will see him, not as Savior, but Judge.
Fake news claims that those who believe that all lives matter are guilty of the number one thought crime. But even Christian preschoolers know better. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight. God's good news is that all lives do matter, and whoever trusts in his son will escape his coming wrath. From Don Early in Rantoul. And we'll continue now with the death notices for the week. Jolaine Sass, age 76, completed her early journey on 19 June 2020 at home after a long battle with Alzheimer's and in recent years combined with cancer. Services were held at our Redeemer Lutheran with school in Delavan, Wisconsin. A Christian graveside committal service took place at American Lutheran Church, Eden Park Cemetery in Rantoul, Illinois. A celebration of life for Jolaine may be held at the one-year anniversary. In lieu of flowers, memorials, if desired, may be made to Our Redeemer Lutheran Church with School Scholarship Fund in Delavan, Wisconsin, or charity of your choice. Special thanks to the hospice care team of Aurora at Home for the tender, loving care they provided for Jo during her greatest time of need. Max A. Sass and Sons Funeral and Cremation Services assisted the family. Bryce Gordon Morris, 77, of Rantoul, passed away Wednesday, July 22nd at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. A graveside burial service was held Monday, July 27th at Eden Park Cemetery, Rantoul. Bayer Family Funeral Services Paxton is handling arrangements. Memorials may be made to the American Lutheran Church, Rantoul. Please share your memories and condolences with the family at bearfuneralservices.com. Beverly J. DeMoss Robeson, 58, of Rantoul, passed away peacefully in her sleep on the morning of Saturday, July 25th, at her home. The family will have a private funeral service at Lux Memorial Chapel, 1551 East Grove, Rantoul. In accordance with health precautions, an outdoor visitation with cars entering the west side of Lux Memorial will be held from 5 to 7 on Wednesday evening. This concludes the reading of the death notices for the week. We'll return to local news and other stories to conclude. It's a beautiful summer day in Rantoul, with the temperature at 75 degrees, a fair sky, humidity at 79%, heat index at 75 degrees, and a wind at 11 miles per hour. There actually is a wind chill today of 75 degrees. The UV index is very high, 9 today, so be sure to use sunblock if you're outside. Sunrise at 5:49 and sunset at 8:07. Dew point 68 degrees and visibility 10 miles. And now a story from the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette, a story about Lou Henson, the beloved Illinois basketball coach for many years who passed away last weekend. Stories of Lou Henson, Saying Thanks, by Jim Rossow from the News Gazette. Most everyone has a story about gentleman Lou Henson, beloved for so many more reasons than just basketball. Email yours to Jim Rossow at jimrossow@newsgazette, and we'll include it in the August 6th specialist section devoted to the late great Illinois coach and CU ambassador. Here's one from former Rebounders president Barb Barker, a longtime family friend and neighbor of the Hensons. She and her husband were on hand as coach went out of his way to let Scott Nagy, son of Lou's former assistant Dick Nagy, know how proud he was of him. Our last adventure with him was in February, when Mary had us come over and take a video of him to send immediately to Wright State, because that night was going to be Scott Nagy's 500th win, and they wanted to have a congratulations video on their screen right after from Lou, who had known him his whole life. He came across real well in the video, which I still have on my phone. If you're a subscriber to the News Gazette, you can also watch the video. It was the last time the Barkers would see Lou, as the coronavirus pandemic would begin soon thereafter. And from Ben Zigterman, the News Gazette, from the University of Illinois. Coronavirus response. U of I surveys show students want mask enforcement. University of Illinois students want to return to campus, and when they do, they want mask wearing enforced, surveys show. And more than 8,500 people have signed the U of I's COVID-19 safety pledge, officials said at a committee meeting Wednesday. Students want to have enforcement of masks and face coverings. They do not want to be the enforcers, Jody Salato, the U of I's Director of Academic Communications, told the Academic Senate's Executive Committee. Law professor Rob Carr urged the U of I to emphasize this. There's research to suggest that if a community comes up with the norm and deliberation and they want it, it's much more likely to be followed, he said. When students return to campus next month for a hybrid experience of online and in-person classes, they'll be required to wear face coverings on university property. Students and employees who don't comply may face disciplinary action, but U of I officials are optimistic that it won't come to that. Have some faith in our students, spokesman Chris Harris said. We get most of our students living up to the character that we see when they apply here and that they demonstrate on a daily basis. He referenced an unofficial prom in Mahomet, where at least 16 people who attended tested positive and 7 businesses were impacted. The biggest spike we've had in this community recently was not related to our students and was actually related to what I would argue is bad behavior on parents who should know better, Harris said. The U of I has sent 72 mass emails since January 23rd, including 32 in March, spokesman Robin Kaler said. They are open by 59% of undergraduates, 52% of grad students, 42% of faculty, and 39% of staff. But Kaler said the U of I is reaching out to the community in other ways, including launching an educational campaign and hiring wellness ambassadors, created the pledge, and will continue to survey students. It also hopes to reach out to leaders of student clubs and is brainstorming other ways to reach students and encourage mask wearing, including a possible mask fashion show, Kaler said. She encouraged professors to help set the norms. Our students trust you, said Kaler. And finally, from Governor Pritzker, this virus isn't something we can wish away. Governor Pritzker on Thursday traveled to 2 of the 4 counties in Illinois that are now in danger of having to reimpose economic restrictions because of rising COVID-19 numbers, warning that bars, restaurants, and other businesses could be forced to close again if people don't follow public health guidelines. As much as I'd like to, this virus isn't something that we can wish away, Pritzker said at an event in Peoria. So we have to act responsibly and collectively to protect the people that we love. All 102 counties in Illinois are currently in Phase 4 of the reopening plan, which means businesses are allowed to operate within public health guidelines, such as capacity limits and face mask requirements, and gatherings of up to 50 people are allowed. This has been Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week. I hope to read with you again soon. Have a lovely day.